Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Taylor Tsinis.
I'm Kayla Tsinis, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
You're listening to Farming News with the Irish Farmers Journal.
Hello, folks, and welcome back to the latest edition of the Irish Farmers Journal Farming News podcast. I'm Barry Murphy, news correspondent here on the team. We have the full news team here on the line with us this week, so a lot to get through. On this week's episode, we're going to discuss the European Commission's view on Ireland's cap plan. Are they happy or is there more to be done? Noel Barden is going to tell us more. We'll also run through a talkish update which has some stark predictions on how rising farm input costs will impact farm incomes this year. We look at the 16 million aid package pig farmers got from the government on Wednesday and discuss how IFA leadership have received pay rises. Rachel Donovan has been looking at the impact of cancelled shipments on the calf trade this week, while Minister Eamon Ryan was in the hot seat on turf sales. A chock-a-block week, so lots to get through. First up, we're going to speak to our news correspondent and Westmead man, Noel Barden. Noel, you've had your eyes on the European Commission's letter in response to the proposals in Ireland's CAP strategic plan for 2023 to 2027. You report on page one of this week's paper that Brussels wants farmers to do more. Do we all need to go planting wildflowers now and say goodbye to the dairy, or is the ask a bit smaller? What are they saying?
Well, as of yet, we really don't know, Barry. The letter has been with the department since the 31st of March, so just about 2 weeks. But it does seem like the Commission will want more from farmers if they are to claim payments, particularly environmental payments, from 2023 onwards. The department had said that there was absolutely no indication before this of what kind of response that the Commission would issue to the CAP strategic plan. And in the response letter, which is 35 pages, it does outline that in general the plan is lacking in ambition, particularly around the environmental targets that are set, and clarification or further evidence is required on quite a number of the schemes. One thing that came up in every environmental section of the letter would be whether or not the impact of dairy expansion on water quality, greenhouse gas emissions, on biodiversity loss, whether or not that had been considered in the plan, which is effective from 2023 onwards. And the department will be required to show evidence that these factors had been considered when the plan was being drawn up. The agri-environmental scheme and the eco scheme, they were both under fire as regards to whether or not they went far enough beyond the mandatory requirements of farmers in the next CAP. So whether or not they go beyond the baseline that farmers will be required to hit. And I suppose there was also questions asked about these environmental schemes and other schemes, such as the sheep welfare scheme, as to whether or not farmers would have to change their practice in order to claim payments. And it was suggested for some of the schemes that in some parts of the country, quite a number of farmers would automatically be eligible for payment, and that they wouldn't have to change their practice or improve at all. On the Suckler Carbon Efficiency, on the efficiency scheme, it had been noted that the department is relying quite heavily on this to achieve emission reduction targets, and they were asked whether or not they were in fact confident that these targets could be hit. Following on from this, the department was asked to produce evidence that the precursors to this Suckler Carbon Efficiency Scheme, so that would be the BEPS and the BDGP that are in play at the moment, whether or not these achieved their goals of reducing emissions. I suppose overall, it does seem like there is quite a bit to change, and there is 35 pages of the plan. The department still has to issue comment on it, or Minister McConnellogue still has to come out and give his views on what the plan means and what changes will need to be made. But it does definitely seem like there will be a tightening up of scheme requirements and really of the actions that farmers will be required to carry out if they are to receive payments from next year onwards.
Interesting, Nola. Look, is there a time frame involved here? What, you know, is the minister going to go back to farmers on this? Has he a number of weeks to make those changes, or is it kind of a longer game? What's kind of the lineup on the time wise?
Well, I don't know what the department's plan is at the minute. They have said that they do want to have the final iteration of the schemes and all the details within them presented to farmers before the ploughing. So that would be in September of this year. Given the amount of changes that need to be made and the body of work that needs to be done by the department to stand over the plan and to justify the interventions and the measures that are proposed within it, it doesn't seem like there will be farmer consultation. But whether or not stakeholders are taken into the fray, I'd say it will, like you said, depend on that kind of time frame that is there, and how long the department has to tidy up the bits and pieces that they've been asked to do by the European Commission.
Be interesting to see what happens there, Noel. Thanks a million. And look, going to yourself, Rachel, next. Another report recommending a few changes was the Food Vision Dairy Report you've covered on page 4. This group formed the minister proved controversial recently. What have they come up with, and what do farmers need to know?
Yeah, Barry, the first draft of the Food Vision Dairy Group, it was circulated to stakeholders last Thursday, and they met then on Monday, I suppose, to discuss what was recommended. And one of the 17 recommendations in this interim report was an environmental limit on methane emissions. So other significant measures that could potentially face farmers is a 35% cut in chemical nitrogen usage. Now, these are just short-term actions recommended to be carried out between 2022 and 2025. Other major short-term recommendations in the report were replacing 80% of can usage with protected urea, capping cow numbers for new entrants, ensuring 100% adoption to low-emission slurry spreading by the end of 2025, as well as 100% adoption to milk recording by the end of 2025. As well, they were recommending that multi-species swards and clover swards were 100% adopted by the end of 2025. There are other medium-term recommendations from 2026 to 2030, including a voluntary retirement or an exit scheme, as well as methane mitigating feed technologies. But ultimately, Pat, I spoke to Pat McCormack. He's president of the Irish Creamery and Milk Suppliers Association, or the ICMSA. And he said that this 35% cut in chemical nitrogen, it was excessively high, and described it as a target that was too ambitious and not achievable. He said multi-species swards are not proven enough yet. And this year was a very hard year to embrace protected urea, given the war in Ukraine, your supply issues, the price, it's gone up 400% from this time last year. You know, and there was reports of hauliers going to Rosslare for a load of protected urea and coming home at 18,612 because it was either that or nothing. Ultimately, he said this reduction could devastate the dairy industry. I also spoke to Stephen Arthur. He's the IFA dairy chair, and he said the same thing. You know, it's a very drastic reduction. It will have a big hit on farmers' incomes ultimately. He said farmers are expected to be environmentally sustainable, but not economically or socially.
Thanks, Rachel. Very interesting stuff going on there. And staying with yourself for the moment, you've also been speaking to Stenaline this week after it's revealed that there's been further cancellations of some of their shipments. Has this had an impact on the calf trade, and how has it gone this week?
Yeah, so I've been speaking to Stenaline for the last number of weeks, Barry, about their livestock boat, the Stenner Horizon. So the Stenner Horizon goes from Rosslare to Cherbourg 3 times a week. And it has been cancelled now for the last 2 weeks and is going to be cancelled for another week until next Tuesday, the 19th of April. It carries 22 cattle lorries, and as I said, it goes 3 times a week. So there's a fair shot of livestock that hasn't been moving. And as a result, there has been a hit seen at Mart's at calf sales, and trade was definitely down this week. What the delay is that the Stenner Horizon is under annual maintenance at the moment, and it was supposed to be back on the route last Tuesday, but due to unforeseen delays, it's not going to be back on the route until the 19th of April.
Hopefully that gets going again soon. Thanks a million, Rachel. Going back to yourself now, Noel, just on these pigs. So we saw that pig farmers got a 16 million package from government yesterday, a far cry off the 100 million they were looking for. It's still worth up to 70,000 per farmer, though. Are they happy, or is this only a sticky tape of sorts?
Yeah, Barry. So the package you're referring to is a total of 15.8 million euro. And it needs to be bore in mind that 3 million euro of that is going to the horticulture producers. So these would be the tomato, cucumber and pepper growers, as well as the field veg producers and the mushroom farmers as well. So once that fund is taken out, there's about 13 million euro left for pig farmers. And the details are still very scant on this. The minister has said that the maximum payment under the scheme will be 70,000 euro per pig farmer, and there will be conditionality attached to this funding. So I suppose the original scheme that the IFA had proposed, along with Meat Industry Ireland and the Irish Grain and Feed Association, would have been a 100 million euro package with 50 million euro direct aid and a 50 million euro loan scheme to keep liquidity in the sector. It's still not exactly known whether or not elements of this scheme are still alive, as it was kind of described in the joint Oireachtas committee yesterday, when the IFA, when a delegation of IFA pig representatives addressed TDs and senators. It is known whether or not this 100 million euro package is completely out the window, or whether or not elements of it can still be taken along with the 13 million euro package announced this morning by Minister McConnell Oak. It wouldn't seem like pig farmers would be happy if this 70,000 euro is the last of the funding to come. So there had been a previous scheme back last month which seen pig farmers able to draw down a maximum of 20,000 euro, and about 252 farmers applied for this. So only about 5 million euro of the funding was utilised. So in total, we could be looking at 90,000 euro in funds delivered to pig farmers. But these pig farmers are on track to lose over 500,000 euro this year. I suppose the IFA have also said that they won't support any of the conditionality that is set to be attached to this new scheme, which was just approved by Cabinet yesterday. So one of the conditions would be a 10% reduction in stock numbers in pig units. The IFA have said that this could lead to a scenario similar to the BEAM scheme, where the move is deeply unpopular with farmers and it could threaten farm viability. They've said, especially with regards to pig farms, when the farm infrastructure is expensive and the facilities really need to be utilised, they have said, for farmers to get their return on investment. I suppose other conditions that would have been attached to this 13 million euro scheme would be that there has to be an Animal Health Ireland biosecurity assessment carried out on farm, and each pig farm that receives payment will have to report quarterly to the department on their usage of antimicrobials. So there's still a lot of details to be finalised there and some clarification to be given on the IFA's package. But I'd suspect that pig farmers won't be too happy with this. But it had been quite a big ask in the first place, this original €100 million package.
Thanks. No, look, definitely a big ask, and hopefully some of that money gets them through this current crisis that they're in. Heading to our political correspondent, Pat O'Toole, next. Pat, we've seen Environment Minister Eamon Ryan landing in the hot seat over turf this week. The minister wants to ban the sale and distribution of turf from September and said as recently as yesterday evening that it's going to be going ahead despite criticism. We had the Taoiseach, the Leo Varadkar, out then yesterday evening talking about postponing the ban. Are we looking at turf bringing down the government, or will Ryan bow down to his coalition partners?
There's real echoes here of how the last government that the Green Party were in collapsed. John Gormley made proposals around emissions. And to be honest, looking back on those proposals a decade down the line, and when we look at what is in place now in terms of sectoral targets for carbon reduction, they were relatively mild, but they were opposed by farmers and the farm organisations. And Johnny Brady, who was the Fianna Fáil TD, who was heading the Oireachtas Agriculture Committee, spoke against them at that committee in January of 2011. And it was a clear breach, an unfixable breach between Fianna Fáil and the Green Party. And the government fell pretty much the next week. So there's real danger here for the government that this is becoming a huge political problem. It's a big issue in rural Ireland, of course, in the west of Ireland in particular, and in the Midlands, those areas that have already lost the peat bogs as commercial entities and now see that the ability to cut turf and to share it with your neighbours who may not have turbary rights, and to maybe cover the cost of the cutting of the turf, which was traditional, where you'd sell a couple of loads and that would cover the cost of the cutting of the turf. That's now been outlawed. And it's felt that that Eamon Ryan is reaching across again to smack rural Ireland. And the fact that Leo Varadkar was the person who led the charge from government yesterday evening was hugely surprising. Like Eamon Ryan, he's a Dublin TD and he would be seen as being, very urban. So that one has surprised people, and it has placed his government in danger, I think.
There'll be turf sold in September yet, I'd say it all packed. It'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. And you've also been looking at the IFA's accounts this week. We saw that IFA leaders are getting a pay rise. How much are they getting, Pat, and what do IFA members make of it?
So Damien MacDonald is the Director General of the IFA. He was appointed after an extended process. Brian Barry, who was the deputy to Pat Smith, served in an acting director capacity for the bones of a year before Damien MacDonald was appointed following the resignation of Pat Smith. Pay was at the centre of the issues that saw Pat Smith resign and saw Eddie Downey step down as president a week later. So it's an emotive issue within IFA. Damien's served his 5 years. His contract was up. The decision was made to renew his contract, and that decision is ultimately made by the president and the deputy president and then recommended to council. So ultimately Tim Cullinan decided to keep Damien MacDonald in place. Then the remuneration committee, which is set up to review executive pay, because you can't have people reviewing their own pay. That was at the heart of the previous problems of governance within IFA. The remuneration committee decided to increase Damien MacDonald's pay by 30,000. From 185 to about 215,000. And that was to bring it into line with the Secretary General of the Department of Agriculture. We are being told that there's parity. They're looked on as equals. So that's what's happened with Damien MacDonald. The Remuneration Committee then looked at the President and the Deputy President's pay. So the Remuneration Committee is the four regional chairs. That's Harold Kingston in Munster, Francie Gorman in Leinster, Frank Brady in North Leinster, Ulster, and Pat Murphy in Connacht. Martin Stapleton, who is the treasurer and returning officer of the association, and an external director, Declan McAvoy of IFAC, highly respected man. So they looked at the pay or remuneration that Tim Cullinan receives, and they brought that up to 140,000 from about 120. Pro rata increase with Damien McDonald's. That brings Tim within 7,000 of the money that Eddie Downey was on when he resigned. But that masks a bigger truth, because Eddie Downey was also on the boards of Bord Bia and of FBD. And they're quite onerous roles. And he would have been receiving somewhere around 60,000 a year on top of his IFA remuneration from those two roles. Tim Cullinan is also on the board of Bord Bia as the Irish, the IFA's serving president, and on the board of FBD. There's one major difference, and Tim Cullinan, like Eddie Downey when he was president, serves on behalf of IFA on the boards of both Bord Bia and FBD. But whereas Eddie Downey was receiving about 60,000 a year for those two roles, he was receiving that personally. The money is now being paid into the IFA's coffers, and Tim is, that 140,000 Tim gets, that's his full remuneration. And actually the cost of that to the IFA and to the members of the association is being defrayed by the 60,000 that he's earning on behalf of IFA in Bord Bia and in FBD. And those are quite onerous roles that wouldn't be taken lightly. And similarly with the Deputy President, Brian Rush, he serves on the board of Chagosk. I think it's about 12,000 a year. And that goes into IFA's coffers. So his 40,000 is actually costing less than 30,000. So there hasn't been much reaction yet, but these things can take a while to seep out. It'll be interesting to see what members think. There was an increase in the membership fee, a small, relatively small increase last year. But with farmers' incomes on the floor, especially cattle and sheep farmers, predicted to fall. Sheep farmers below 15,000 this year in many cases. How will they feel about the top three people in the IFA getting pay rises? Probably not too keen on it.
Thanks, Pat. I think a lot of farmers will be asking if those pay rises are coming at the right time. Heading to news correspondent Declan O'Brien next. Dec, on page 8, you go through the ins and outs of a Tagish update to its Situation and Outlook for Irish Agriculture in 2022 report. They came out with new figures suggesting decreases in farm incomes for many farmers this year due to rising input costs. What are they saying?
Well, the report, which is an update on the outlook, situation and outlook for Irish agriculture 2022, is a kind of, it's just raising the red flag with regard to the impact of what's happened to input prices as a result of the Ukrainian war. They're signalling all the far higher prices that farmers are paying for fuel, for feed, for fertiliser, and what impact that will have at an enterprise level. Now, what they're suggesting or what they're predicting is that dry stock farmers could take the hardest hit here. They're saying that beef farmer incomes could be back, particularly suckler farmers, by up to 25%. They're saying a 20% cut for sheep farmers, and a similar reduction in income in the tillage sector. Now, this all comes with major caveats, as the Tagisk economists admit. You know, that they say they concede that it's very early to be predicting how crops are going to go this early in the season. They're also saying for the livestock farmers that weather will have a huge impact. But they are signalling that farmers are going to take a major hit in their incomes this year. You know, the one sector that seem insulated from the increases is the dairy sector. Despite the fact that they are high nitrogen users, they're saying the lift in dairy commodity prices, which was reflected this week with the price has been paid to farmers going over 50 cents when you take in milk solids, 50 cents a litre. They're saying those increases are going to insulate dairy farmer incomes, you know. And the irony of that is that if there was going to be a hit in incomes, dairy farmers were probably, well, certainly the enterprise that could take that or could bear that hit best, because for the incomes in 2021, they were saying, well, the average income for dairy farmers was 95,000, and that's likely to be adjusted upwards when the final figures for 2021 come in. So it is not good news for dry stock farmers. They're saying obviously the sector that's going to take the hardest hit in all of this is the pig sector. They're saying that this year the average pig unit with 600 sows could be back around 400,000, 430,000 actually. You know, whether they can survive that level of a hit is still up in the air, and whether these figures will act in some way to push the department into giving ground on the aid package for the pig sector has yet to be seen.
Thanks, Declan. Just kind of staying with those dry stock farmers and aid packages, we saw there the Irish Cattle and Sheep Farmers Association were out yesterday looking at the difference between dairy farm incomes, or the toggish forecast for dairy farm incomes, and those that beef and sheep farmers will earn in 2022. Are we likely to see this kind of analysis impacting what kind of supports the minister will roll out for different farm sectors, particularly if that European Commission fund is likely to mean that more money is going to go towards beef and sheep farmers and the pigs, and maybe not so much towards the dairy lads?
Well, I think it's going to be harder and harder to justify dairy supports. The final figures for 2021 are going to be out around the end of May. And they're going to make for stark reading. And I think that this year as well, already there are signs that the beef processors could be lining themselves up for an offload of cattle later in the year, and that's going to put further pressure on dry stock farmer incomes. So I think that any money that's going to be coming from Europe is going to be increasingly directed towards dry stock farmers, and maybe tillage farmers will get a greater slice of the pie as well. We've seen this year has brought a focus on, you know, that it's not really good enough to be talking about our green image if we are bringing all the feed in. Now we're going to have to anyway bring a fair percentage of it into the country, but if we can produce more of it at home, I think the implications of what's happened this year are showing the benefits of doing that.
Folks, look, lots to think about there. Thanks, Dec. That's all we have time for this week. Remember, you can also tune into our Down to Agribusiness podcast, where this week Jack Kennedy, Anne Finnegan and Fiona O'Neill discuss what's behind the strong beef price performance currently and where Ireland sits compared with other countries. They also look at the upward surge in global food prices as shown by the latest food price index. More on those stories and everything discussed today in this week's paper. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the long weekend and talk to you the next time.
We hope you enjoyed this Irish Farmers Journal podcast. You can find all our podcasts at farmersjournal.ie/podcast and on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinis.
I'm Kayla Itzinis, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits.
Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.